Why don't we start with RPI? What makes that different and unique?
So in terms of the RPI, what you're looking at is, you know, they try and project based off of strength of schedule and based off of who you beat and who you don't beat. Now, what the RPI is going to do is it's going to underrate road and neutral wins in a way, because it doesn't really have heavy enough weight on road neutral wins. And we know how difficult it is in college basketball to win out on the road. You know, other metrics such as KenPom, for instance, will have a pretty substantial weight on road and neutral wins and puts that into their projections. RPI is also more of a results-based formula, whereas KenPom is a bit more of a projection-based formula. So, you know, I would say that the RPI is, you know, probably the most important number in terms of NCAA tournament still, but it's also probably the least reflective number in terms of actual team quality, just because I don't really think that it's complex enough to deal with everything that you're seeing on the basketball floor, but it is still something that has been used over the course of the last three decades, however long it's been around, and given who is in that room deciding NCAA tournament team's fate, I would imagine that just by nature of human nature, you're probably going to fall back on what you know.
Sam Vecenie of The Athletic, also the host of the fantastic basketball podcast, the Game Theory podcast. Now, ESPN has their BPI index. What are the strengths and weaknesses of that, and what teams tend to come up higher in the BPI rankings?
So the BPI stands for Basketball Power Index. It's essentially supposed to measure how good a team is, and again, it is more of a predictive number as opposed to a what you've actually accomplished number, which means that, you know, it goes off of their strength of record, you know, accomplishment that does have road and neutral wins kind of baked in. It has travel distance. It has, you know, pace, your efficiency numbers, your tempo neutral numbers. Ultimately, at the end of the day, the goal here for the BPI is more to predict what is going to happen in the future, which is valuable. And I think that in a lot of ways, if I was kind of on the NCAA tournament committee, that's probably something I would rather know than anything the RPI is giving you. But I'm a little bit lower on the BPI than anything else.
Sam Vecenie joining us from The Athletic, talking ratings in college basketball as far as the indexes go. Each one of the formulas, no matter which one of these, there has to be some bias in it to what they like, what they don't like. Are there certain conferences, certain teams in these formulas and indexes that have an inherent advantage to the way things go?
Well, I think that you see often with any strength of schedule based metric, which, you know, all of these metrics in some regard take strength of schedule into account, you know, what you're going to find is that teams that, you know, don't necessarily test themselves in the non-conference and yet play in a non-Power 5, Power 6 conference are going to be behind the eight ball in terms of their strength of record or, you know, their strength of schedule based components. Now, Boise State went out. They played a good team in Loyola Chicago. They played Oregon. They played Iowa State. They played Grand Canyon and SMU as well. You know, they actually went out and tested themselves relatively well in their non-league schedule. You look at their non-conference schedule, it is slightly below average, but whenever you're Boise State, you're just really trying to avoid that disaster number, I think, while still racking up a quality number of wins, which is something they did. The problem is going to be that in terms of the Mountain West, you've got San Jose State, Air Force. I would even throw Utah State and Colorado State into this and say that, you know, those teams are really going to drag down the metrics in terms of strength of schedule for Boise State going forward.
Now, one of the things that I've noticed, and you can correct me if you think my observation is off, but it seems like BPI and KenPom are being used a lot more, and especially when watching a television broadcast, those numbers are being shown much more than they were 5 or 6 years ago. During that same time span, it seems like the percentage of at-large spots in the NCAA tournament for mid-major teams has dropped from where it was 4 or 5, 6 years ago. Is there any connection to the more of these different types of rankings index that are used, the more that it's hurting the mid-majors?
I don't think so, because I still don't think that the selection committee has integrated these metrics enough or as much as they should have. Last year, I think that it was a oddly down year in terms of mid-major quality. This year, I think that you can make a case that Gonzaga, St. Mary's, Boise State, Nevada, New Mexico State even is a really, really strong team this year. Rhode Island is another really good team. St. Bonaventure has done a decent amount in terms of their accomplishments if they can start turning their season around, even though they've lost 4 of 5 recently within the Atlantic 10. I think the stronger crop of mid-majors this year, which I think is going to help going forward with their odds with the selection committee, but I don't think that it's necessarily anything where the metrics are holding down another team, just or like any mid-major team, just because, if anything, I think these metrics probably help because they account for efficiency-based metrics and margin of victory a lot more than, for instance, the RPI does.
Sam Vecenie joining us. He is from The Athletic. He is our college basketball writer. Sam, as we look to Boise State and look down the road of what's coming in the Mountain West tournament, from what you've seen, looked at, read, gut feel, how many more losses can Boise State sustain and still have a shot at it at large? And how much does it matter who, and maybe more importantly, where the games are played?
Well, so you're looking at a team in Boise State right now that, according to KenPom, which is what I use, I mean, I'm sure that there are other metrics that other people use, and I'm sure that many will use the RPI, I'm sure that many will use the BPI. You know, according to KenPom, at least, though, which I think is the best set of numbers on the, internet or that is publicly available right now, they still are without a top 50 win, which is going to make it obviously exceedingly difficult going forward. I think that means they probably, have to beat Nevada at home on February 14th to really get a lot of consideration for an at-large berth. Even beyond that, this is still a team that only has one top 70 win, given Oregon's struggles in the Pac-12, given that UNLV has fallen off just a little bit, and given that, San Diego State is, on a 3-game losing streak right now. So you don't even know if they're going to have a top 70 win by the time February 3rd rolls around even. So they need quality wins more than they need quantity of wins right now. I think that is the biggest concern that I would have if I was Leon Rice pinning my hopes to an at-large berth.
Sam Vecenie joining us. Follow him on Twitter at @Sam_Vecenie. Not only an expert when it comes to college basketball, really all levels of basketball, including the draft. And Chandler Hutchison, we had on your friend Cole Zwicker on a couple of weeks ago, and he mentioned Hutchison possibly a top 25 guy in this upcoming NBA draft. You've been on Chandler for a while now, so what do you see from him?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a huge fan of Chandler Hutchison. I don't really hide that. I've gotten to meet the kid, and I'm sure that you guys have. He is just elite in terms of character. He is one of the nicest dudes you'll meet, and he's an incredibly hard worker if you talk to anyone around that Boise State program. To go from where he was to where he is now shows an incredible amount of not just physical development, because that's what Boise State knew was going to be necessary whenever they recruited him out of Southern California, I guess 4 years ago now, maybe going on 5 years ago, whenever they started scouting him. But, it's just the amount of time that he's putting into his craft He can handle the ball now. He's a much more instinctive passer now. He can shoot the ball, which is something he couldn't really do all that consistently whenever he got to Boise State. You know, I love guys that are on that upward trajectory, right? Guys that have shown that they're going to take time into their craft. They're going to continue to get better year over year over year. You know, I have Hutchison as like a pretty clear top 20 guy on my board right now. I do understand that he's going to be a senior and he's older, and, you know, NBA executives are a little bit worried about that. But you look at what he's got. He's a 6'7" athlete with a 7-foot wingspan, incredible fluidity, can handle the ball, can really, really pass it, is improving as a jump shooter despite the fact that he's probably still a drive-first guy. I just look at that guy, and he looks tailor-made for what the NBA is trying to do right now.
Sam Vecenie joining us of The Athletic and the Game Theory podcast. Before we let you go, a chance to kind of say what you have coming up on The Athletic and what the podcast is all about for those who aren't familiar with it. It really is one of the best basketball podcasts out there.
Oh, thanks. You know, coming up on The Athletic this week, I'll have my Big Ten weekly thing that I write. I have a Pac-12 weekly thing that I write. Then I'm going to be releasing a top 100 NBA draft prospects as well. I would point out that Chandler Hutchison is going to rank pretty highly on that. Like I said, definitely within the top 20. I think that's probably higher than what most people have him right now. So I'm a big fan there. And, you know, I'm going to try and write a couple other things, I think, later this week. But until I get them locked down, I should probably hold off on going ahead and promoting them. But the podcast is called the Game Theory Podcast, and it is on whatever free podcasting app that you use. If you search for that, I'm sure you can find it.